Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours.
Tuesday, October 8th, 2019. Thank you for joining me today. Now, when we go through everything today, a lot of the main topics you're probably going to expect, and some things that you probably might not expect. I want you to consider all the things that we think that we know today, that we know there's extreme bias in the media, including the independent media. There's extreme bias in the media. We know that politicians lie to us on a regular basis to achieve their goals. We know that the law is regularly overlooked or ignored to achieve their goals. We know all these things. We know that the government spies on us, even though it violates our constitutional rights. We know these things. And yet we somehow cannot put these things together when we look at the people that we're standing against, whether that's the government or the in certain cases, that could be something like medical establishment. But the point is we blindly accept their authority, their altruism, because they're in an official position, despite all of the things that we know today. I mean, even in regard to the mainstream media, let's say, that they get predominant amounts of funding from the military-industrial complex and big pharma, and yet we'll turn around and blindly take their information if it aligns with what we already think we know. Yet we don't consider the fact that we know that they're influenced by people that want to control your perception. We have to recognize that on the media and the political stage today, so very much of what you're looking at is orchestrated. It's theater. So much of it's political theater, in order to get you to not pay attention to what's most important. Now, distraction is just one small part of it. There's a whole multifaceted agenda taking place in front of you. But what we need to continue to look at is things like Ukraine Gate, or like the alleged pullout from Syria that we all knew, if you were paying attention, was not even actually what was happening, but was ultimately never going to happen anyway. But that whole divide in the discussion that never really was happening took you away from what's really going on, and that is the point. They want to create the illusion of a divide amongst them politically in order to create a real divide amongst you, in order to keep you placated, pacified, ignoring what's really going on so they can consider and continue doing what they've always been trying to accomplish. Very clear stuff to me, and I'm hoping that more people are beginning to see this. Now, we're going to get into Syria today, the Kurds, what's going on with Turkey, the whole situation there and how it's developed into today, which is not, it's basically what we've been saying already over the last few days. And it turns out we were correct yet again. It's because we know how they operate. We're going to talk about the Kurds and an ISIS warning they have about 10,000 plus ISIS members, you know, the defeated ISIS that works. Apparently the Kurds are warning that 10,000 ISIS members plus could be released if they allow Turkey to continue their incursion into Syria. Yeah, that defeated ISIS, they're leaving because it's defeated. Yeah, 10,000, but yeah, they're defeated. We're going to get into Venezuela, a story that we haven't touched on in a minute in regard to sanctions yet again. And we just talked about the Iranian story that proved the lie about how they claim that food and medicine always get through. And that's a very, very clear lie that's easy to prove. They know that it stops food and medicine from getting through. That's what sanctions are meant to do. And that story very clearly showed you that about Iran. Well, here today we have a story about Venezuela that will show you, prove to you, that not only are the sanctions designed to hurt the lowest on the totem pole, the civilians of the country, as they pretend they're aiming them at the government, not only is it doing that, but they know that it's doing that because that's what it's meant to do. And of course, we have a bombshell about the FBI. Not really. Something we all already know, kind of like I was just saying about the NSA spying on you. Well, we know that the FBI ignores the law, ignores your constitutional rights, just like the NSA. But guess what? A court just found that they did in fact do that. And guess what? They found that out last year and we're only finding out right now. But I would argue that it's not much of a shock to anyone that's been paying attention, but it's interesting how it comes out as some kind of huge story, even though we've all seen it happening. And of course, I'm going to end with a video that I really hope you'll watch in full about Israeli torture and how it's happening in plain view and no one seems to care in the only democracy in the Middle East. So let's begin today with an article from Zero Hedge in regard to the Syria discussion. You know, that the U.S. was withdrawing from Syria, and then they weren't, and then the point is they never really were, and that's actually not even what he said. That's what I'm talking about the illusion being created. They wanted to manufacture this discussion, one, so it lets his base feel like, oh, he might leave again. He's trying. He's sure trying, but that's never really the case. as well as to get them arguing that we have to stay forever because bad, bad things. This is what it's all about, even though it was never even on the table. That should bother you. Admin officials already trying to walk back Trump's Syria withdrawal. Now, according to Donald Trump, the withdrawal of U.S. troops from northeastern Syria does not amount to abandoning the Kurds, despite, you know, the Kurds themselves literally calling what's happening a betrayal. But this is, again, where you get into the situation where do you blindly trust a U.S. official or the very people that he is pretending to represent? No, this isn't abandoning the Kurds. And here's the Kurds saying, you're abandoning us. So you choose who you're going to listen to. But regardless, the point is that the Kurds are a force that's illegally occupying Syria and chock full of extremists as well. And they should not be there. But that does not mean they have, I mean, the reality you have to understand about the Kurds is they were brought into this situation with very clear ties to their origins to Israel, but they were brought into this situation with, brought most predominantly the United States government using them and promising them the world. You know, just like we saw with the Venezuelan defectors that got left high and dry in Colombia after they didn't get enough. These people have been moved around, used and abused as a tool, as a chess piece on a board in a game that these governments are playing. They are illegally acting. They're illegally trying to take part of Syria's territory, but they're still also being used by the U.S. government. You see, there's nuance to the story that you'll never get from the mainstream media. And that is a very surface level discussion. There's much more to dive into this. But it is indeed a betrayal. But they shouldn't be there to begin with. And what's happening is the United States is dropping them like a bad habit the moment that they recognize that they don't, and there's no benefit to staying there. Now, Trump took to Twitter, as usual, to justify his decision to, which ended up ultimately being simply relocating a small portion of U.S. troops away from their positions on the Syrian border with Turkey, which exposes the Kurdish military militias to attacks from the Turkish military, which they know would happen because the Turks have, Erdogan has been saying that. Now, of course, this whole situation about the withdrawal was aggressively misrepresented as leaving Syria, which, understand, was predominantly led by the mainstream media, not just the politicians like Graham and everyone else pushing it forward, but the obedient mainstream media was happy to oblige and run with a story that not only there's nothing to base this on. No one ever said we were leaving. Trump simply said that we were moving. And when you actually read the information, it wasn't even clear about the leaving, but they just jumped on it because we can't even suggest or let people think we might be suggesting leaving war. War has to go on. But remember, of course, that Congress had no problem letting this happen without their authority to begin with, which is their entire job or a large part of it. But it was misrepresented to distract you, in my opinion. That was the large part of what this was about. And here's Trump's tweet. It says, we may be in the process of leaving Syria, but in no way have we abandoned the Kurds. Now, this first sentence is what they have always been saying. It's not because of right now. As far as Trump is concerned, they have always been in the process of leaving Syria since he got elected. And since he first said we were leaving and then didn't do it, and then said we were leaving again and didn't do it, this is the process of leaving. That's what he's suggesting. And of course, saying this now gives all the people they need all the ammunition to say, see, he is leaving. He said he was leaving. That's what it's meant to do. He goes on to say, but in no way have we abandoned the Kurds, who are special people. This is where he goes, you know, we're good friends with those people. They are special people, he says, and wonderful fighters. I mean, this is so weird the way that he tends to do this. I want to kind of a side note that, you know, good. He talks about people that barely know him as if they're best friends. It's just politics, but he doesn't seem to be very good at this part of it. These are people that you just abandoned on the battlefield that are openly saying that you abandoned us, and you're very special people and great fighters. And it says, likewise, our relationship with Turkey, a NATO and trading partner, has been very good. Turkey already has a large Kurdish population and fully understands that while we only had 50 soldiers remaining in that section of Syria, and they have been removed, any unforced or unnecessary fighting by Turkey will be devastating to their economy and to their fragile currency, which ended up not happening, by the way. Now, we today find out that they're also walking back the threats to obliterate Turkey's economy. That's not going to happen. But sure, it's easy to throw those threats out to the world. He says, we are helping the Kurds financially, weapons. Yeah, we all know that. That doesn't change the fact that what's happening now is a very clear violation of your agreement with them. But frankly, I could care less about that because they're illegally occupying Syria. None of them should be there. Now, in a call with reporters late Monday, following a prior Trump tweet declaring, "It's time for us to get out of these ridiculous endless wars," clearly glomming on to Tulsi Gabbard's discussion point that seems to be resonating with people. You know why? Because it was the same thing Trump lied about to get elected that resonated then. And now 3 years later of intensifying every war they can possibly get their hands on, we're talking about ending the endless wars again. So nice. And of course, bring our soldiers home, like he said the first two times they said they were going to leave Syria. And sadly, as I pointed out at the time, probably got a lot of actual wives of military unnecessarily excited they were coming home to turn out, oh no, they're not. He even stood up on TV and said verbatim that he spoke to the wives and husbands of military personnel and said, "They're coming home." Do you remember that? And then it didn't happen. Now, a senior administration official said this, you know, discussed this speaking with reporters and said, quote, "The U.S. is not removing its forces from Syria in the face of a Turkish incursion." You can't get much more clear than that. Right? I mean, that's cut and dry. So again, just for all those people that even on yesterday's show, when we were talking about how, oh, they're not leaving Syria, who just went to town in the chat saying, "Oh, you guys don't know what you're talking about." It's just ridiculous how often people can take these people at their word. Despite how often they continually go back on that word, regardless of why you say they do it. Oh, information changed or something happened. It doesn't change the fact that you can almost bank on the fact that it won't happen the way they say it will. I mean, that's simply verifiable history. So they're openly saying the U.S. is not removing forces. And in Trump's own tweet, he made it clear that it was only about 50 people moving anyway. So how did we get here? How do we get to a place where all of Congress and all of the mainstream media is wringing their hands about leaving Syria? Because it's all orchestrated political theater. Or these people are all so wildly incompetent and misinformed that this is what you get. Either way, it should be horrifying to us. Now, officially, according to numerous mainstream media reports, we know now that the president ordered roughly 50 special operations troops in northern Syria to relocate to a different part of the country after he learned that Turkey was planning an offensive against U.S.-backed Kurdish forces in Syria. So effectively leaving his U.S.-backed forces to be taken by somebody who has been openly saying they're going to attack these people. And as I pointed out the other day, understand that he is attacking locations, the SDF, which is only about 60% Kurdish. And no one seems to care that the other 40% of these people are not Kurds. So it just doesn't matter that Turkey is seemingly attacking some other group that even under his own flimsy excuse doesn't apply. But no one cares about these things because no one really looks into the justifications, because I argue it's not really about any of that. As I've continued to try to show you people. Now, Turkey has planned an offensive against U.S.-backed Kurdish forces for quite a long time. And been very open about it. And this is why it's been a discussion point, why we have a phone call between Trump and Erdogan, who's been planning this operation. Now, the official that spoke about not going in general, not moving troops from Syria, said that the offensive had not yet begun. Yet we know it has. So does he. So again, where are we and what are they trying to get you to look at? When he made this statement, I reported yesterday that we had evidence of bombings taking place on the SDF, which has been confirmed. And here he is saying that hasn't really started, nothing's happened, because it makes them look bad when it starts to happen. And it's going to make them look bad. No matter how you spin this, it makes them look bad. This is all about maintaining the occupation. That's what it comes down to. But making it look like change is close, right? And or they're trying to make it look like they're trying to end the war. When in reality, that was never even in the cards. This is what we're looking at. Now, this tweet from Michael Tracy just hits the nail right on the head, where he says, "How long do people think U.S. troops must remain in Syria? 10 years? Forever? Are you aware they were there illegally in the first place? Why is it that the media always ends up defending perpetual war?" Now, if you actually disagree with this, I don't know what you're looking at. But at the very least, hopefully it's a question you're just finally beginning to ask. No one disagrees that what they did was illegal. They just claim, well, we had to go fight the terrorists that are now predominantly more, you know, it's the opposite effect is what happened. And they don't change the fact that what they did was illegal. They just claim they had some kind of moral obligation to act. and then failed horribly, and then they're continuing to do it in other countries today. But it was always illegal, just like the UN said from day one. But no one seems to care. Now, the report continues based on the new statements issued on, guess what, the condition of anonymity, saying, quote, the latest assertion, however, appears to conflict with a flurry of tweets the president issued Monday. Basically saying at the end, you know, well, yes, this directly contradicts everything the president of the United States just laid out in his tweet form. Which oddly seems to happen quite frequently, wouldn't you say? How is he to point out that Trump would say something and Bolton would say something and it would end up being what Bolton said? Or lately we get the Pompeo version of that? Here we are with Trump laying out exactly what he thinks is happening, and either he's lying to us all for whatever reason, or he was wrong. So think about that. Who is really calling the shots here? And of course, a hasty U.S. withdrawal from the border observation posts in these areas have already happened and have already been confirmed. So again, why are we being lied to by U.S. officials? Now, officially, according to them, there are still as many as 1,000 American troops illegally occupying Syria, which it is ridiculously more than that. I find it interesting how suddenly it went from 1,000 from about 3,000 when we know that there's been no major transitions other than these 50 people moving, but now it's only 1,000, whereas they just said it was about 3,000 the last time they were talking about this. But sure, who knows? Things happen, things move. But I argue it's more than that by and large, in general, whether, especially when you're including proxy forces and, you know, military contractors, which is predominantly what's used in war today. But they say, oh, there's only 1,000 still there. But those 1,000, by the way, are also verifiably illegally occupying Syria. And of course, those are in support in this area of the Kurdish-led Syrian Democratic Forces, the SDF, who again have said openly that they're being betrayed by U.S. actions right now. Now, Pentagon officials and reports have claimed the Defense Department was blindsided by the administration's withdrawal declaration. Again, there was no withdrawal declaration, and this is so weird that we now have at least reports of the Pentagon saying that they were blindsided by this. Now, I argue they were blindsided by the flurry of comments and attacks coming from the Congress and from the mainstream media. So they see this and think, wait, they're leaving? Trump never said that. So either they were blindsided by the nonsense as well, or they're part of the deception. All of a sudden, we're blindsided about leaving that was never happening. And the Kurds have spoken up, actually today, about what might happen if the U.S. military, you know, simply steps aside. And I find this response quite interesting, especially because, oh, this was yesterday, actually, especially because apparently the same group they say might break out is defeated right now. 10,000 ISIS unleashed, Syrian Kurds warn of mass prison break if Turkey invades. Now, by largely, in this specific idea, we're talking about 10,000 they claim is in a prison camp, which I guess you could make an argument for why that would be defeated. But understand that there's also about this different, Al-Ham, they call it ISIS City, which basically houses about 70,000 plus ISIS family members and people. And this is supposed to be, and this is not in a prison camp, understand? But yeah, but ISIS is defeated. These people just live in a massive city, about 70,000 strong, but they're defeated. But this is talking about a specific location where they have 10,000, 12,000, give or take, ISIS members, basically in a prison camp. And I don't know if this is meant to be like alluding to the fact that the Kurds will release them if the U.S. leaves them high and dry, or if, and what they're claiming is that Turkey will rush in and in the midst of the chaos, there'll be a prison break. But I don't even know how they would be able to see that coming. It seems to me to be a veiled threat to say, we'll release 10,000 ISIS members, even to Turkey, who will probably give them jobs, if you leave us high and dry. Now, Syria, as it reads, Syria's U.S.-backed Kurdish militias are warning that over 10,000 jihadists among these thousands of ISIS terrorists could go free as a result Turkey's imminent invasion, as a result of the invasion of Syria by Turkey. Now, the number of ISIS terrorists unleashed in the wake of the Turkish military incursion, they say, could be the biggest since the height of the Islamic State Caliphate's existence, per the Syrian Kurdish official statements. Now, also understand, this could simply be the Kurds lying. making up this whole story in order to get the U.S. to come back. You know, sort of the way that these groups have manufactured false flag chemical attacks more than once that we all should know about by now. So it's certainly possible that they just did this in order to, you know, hopefully manipulate the U.S. government into staying and saving them from complete annihilation. Now, according to Fox, it says aside from the existential threat to the Kurdish fighters posed by Turkey, Syrian Kurdish forces are also warning that ISIS sleeper cells, interesting, so sleeper cells, are actively plotting to free about 12,000 militants currently detained by the Kurds and may take advantage of the Turkey-triggered turmoil to aid their plans. Now, so this either means they have some plan that was in the works that they just are guessing will take place when there's chaos, or that they have some more intelligence that we're not seeing. But something does not ring true to me about this whole thing. That there's sleeper cells that are ready to break them all out when just when they allow the Turks to come in and essentially continue to do what the U.S. government's been doing this whole time. Except in this case, going after the Kurds first. Because I've always continued to argue that it's not, as much as Turkey will pretend that, oh, we're just going to dance in and dance out. We're going to honor their territorial integrity while we're violating their territorial integrity. But I don't think that's what's going to happen. There's always another excuse. There's always another threat. And we're just going to continue to see NATO allies encroaching further and further into Syrian territory in peacetime, mind you, right? Because we're not at war right now. We're just fighting terrorists while we're illegally occupying sovereign Syrian territory. Now, it says those in custody include about 2,500 foreign fighters from Europe and elsewhere whose native countries have been reluctant to take them back, and about 10,000 other captured fighters from Syria and Iraq. Now, understand, these are the same people that Trump was suggesting were going to be taken back by Turkey. Remember when he said, oh, we're going to hand over these ISIS members to Turkey? These are the same people we're talking about. And here, this to me really screams that the Kurds are suggesting or alluding to the fact that they're going to let them go. Because why then would it be an issue for the Turks to come in if they were just going to be handing them over to Turkey's army anyway? Something obviously doesn't add up here. Now, one major but relatively underreported fact is that over the at least the past 2 years, makeshift Kurdish SDF prisons have held many of the region's most dangerous terrorists with Pentagon's help. So essentially, think about how this is playing out. So they pretend they're fighting terrorists. They rush into Syria illegally. And, time and time again, caught arming and funding and protecting the very group they pretend they're fighting. But then, to some degree, have some of these groups for groups that I would argue coming from the Turkey side, because we know that Turkey allowed a lot of these people to flood into Syria and locked them all up in prisons where they're holding them on Syrian territory. Right, so they've just got prisons full of these terrorist organizations just held in Syrian territory with the help of the Pentagon, and then they just take off. They made this situation, understand. They created this, and now they're acting like it's, we've done enough, and we need to hand this off to them because we've done too much. You created the whole damn thing. Now, Kurdish forces have blamed Turkey for clearly unleashing ISIS jihadists on northern Syria in the first place. But it's not just Turkey, but that's definitely how they see it. But we know it's come from far more than just Turkey. We could even talk about the Europe aspect for facilitating people coming over from Africa, but the reality is that there's plenty of examples far more than just Turkey. But they created the situation as they're pretending to fight them. So there's more to this. And what these are may in fact just be exactly what the Kurds are using them for. Maybe this is just more of a training camp than a prison camp. This is just where my mind is going. Now, Trump tweeted, as we talked about the other day, he said they, Turkey, must, with Europe and others, watch over the captured ISIS fighters and families. So basically, I'm handing it off to you guys, basically. Even though it seems like Turkey's not really even, this just seems like something he just went with. And he says, the U.S. has done far more than anyone could ever have expected. I mean, it's just so insulting to hear something. So, as I constantly point out, he is trying to rewrite reality with his constant streaming of tweets, as would any politician, as they all are today. But it's so frustrating that they've done more than anyone could have ever expected. You illegally marched into someone else's country. You destabilized the whole country. You turned a secular area into an extremist occupied area anywhere you marched in. So literally every single step you took, you turned it into what you pretended you were fighting against. How can we not acknowledge something so patently obvious? Either they were really bad at what they did, as I always point out, or that was what they meant to do. Either way, you clearly have not done more than anyone could have expected. You literally did exactly what we expected, and it's really, really bad. And he said, including the capture of 100% of the ISIS caliphate. 100%? I mean, come on. I mean, that's just, I mean, even if they actually did predominantly take them down, which we know they didn't, anyone honest, and people have continually showed, it has been predominantly Russia, Iran, and Syria, and whoever helped in regard to taking down these ISIS members. But 100%, even if they did, it's 100% is just a stupid thing to say. And he says, it is time now for others in the region, some of great wealth, to protect their own territory. Oh, you mean the territory that you threw into chaos? They were protecting it just fine before the U.S. government marched in with the Israeli and Saudi Arabian support. And he says, Turkey, Europe, Syria, Iran, Iraq, Russia, and the Kurds will now have to figure the situation out. Well, that's great. So the Kurds, who you've been supporting, who are on your side, and the other side, we've got Syria, Iran, Iraq, and all these other people on the other side, and sure, you're just going to leave them out there. They can all figure it out together. I mean, it's so wrong in so many different ways. As I said clearly, the Kurds shouldn't be there. I don't support what they're trying to do. Frankly, I don't care, because they're taking part in illegal action, trying to steal land from Syria by trying to be the lackey of the U.S. and Israel. But that's not to say that they don't have genuine ambitions, and to some degree, they're not as bad as everyone else. I've heard that from plenty of different people. But the bottom line is they shouldn't be there. So I don't care. That's how I feel about it. But I do care that we have a president, or rather just a government, and this happened well before Trump was elected, that is willing to just disregard agreements like this, even if I don't agree with it. To just ignore it. Just say, oh, well, screw it. It didn't work out for us, so you guys are screwed. That just shows you inherent dishonesty, and that's not what I feel like we should be representing. But that's where we are today. This is what our government makes us look like. This is when you should really start to see that the government is not the American people. Very different things. So, I mean, so basically it boils down to, I know we created this and told everyone we solved it, but now it's your problem. And we're going to blame you for it from now on. That's what this boils down to. And these are punitive attacks following a failed effort to illegally overthrow a nation's government. That's what it boils down to. And they seemingly last forever. Just ask Syria and Venezuela. They can clearly attest to it. And this next part is coming from The Verge in regard to Venezuela. And this is entitled Adobe. Yeah, like the computer software is cutting off users in Venezuela due to U.S. sanctions. Now, understand that this in general is not that it's not the act of cutting them off from Adobe services that's so horrifying. It's just the simple reality that this is what sanctions do. And we'll get into it. They directly affect the individual. And as much as they promise, well, no, it doesn't. The reason Adobe's doing this explains it all. Explains exactly why these companies know if they do this, even for something as innocuous as Adobe software, that they're going to get the ire of the United States government. They're going to be attacked by the United States government. And understand that if they didn't know that, do you really think they would take their profits away from themselves by removing an entire market from Venezuela? Clearly not. They see the threat, and they know how they're supposed to be acting. Now, Washington obviously likes to claim that the sanctions that it continually imposes on foreign nations as it sees fit, even though they have no right to do so because they're a single nation and they're meant to be handed down by the United Nations, by the international community, but they do it anyway. But they like to claim these sanctions that they hand down are, you know, tailored to harm specifically the rulers, the government, and of course, spare the common folk. Well, this is Adobe banning all of its Venezuelan customers. Now, the California-based software giant, Adobe, is, as you probably know, best known for its tools like Photoshop and Illustrator. That annoying thing that always pops up on the back of your computer. Yeah, that's Adobe. We're all familiar with it. Now, lately, the company has been switching to a subscription-based model, which tends to suggest that they're going the way of the dinosaurs, but it switched to a subscription-based model to try to increase their profit which means that clients pay regular fees to keep using their products rather than a long-term, one-time purchase to own their software. Now, later this month, all subscriptions right now in Venezuela will be canceled without a refund. So they paid for this. People in Venezuela, people in business, people who are probably using it to a large degree, who have projects and things ongoing, they're going to be canceled. And even you will not get their money back. And Adobe has informed its clients in emails this week that that is indeed the case. So just because these sanctions, they're just going to cancel. And even though they paid for their services, they're just going to keep their money. And the company said it cannot offer its services in the South American country because, and this is what they said, in August, like again, just to be clear, the company said themselves that they can't offer these services in South America because Donald Trump issued an executive order which essentially bans almost all transactions between the two nations. That's what Adobe said themselves. That because of Trump's executive order, one man signing a piece of paper, that it essentially bans almost every transaction between the nations, even individuals, you know, the civilians trying to do things with maybe family in other countries or anything. This attacks more than anything else the individual level. And they know this, that's what they're designed to do, as I've constantly tried to tell you. Now, ostensibly, it's meant to punish only the government of Nicolas Maduro. But their definition, as this is where you have to understand, their definition of who is part of that government is deliberately wide. So they constantly say, well, it only attacks the government, but when you understand what they mean by the government, you understand that it's meant to catch basically everybody. It includes, quote, any person who has acted or purported to act directly or indirectly for or on behalf of Venezuela's many governmental branches. I mean, think about that. Anyone, how they say who has acted or even they who'd purported to have acted indirectly or directly on behalf or not of the of any branch of the government. So bottom line, what they're saying is that only the real Venezuelans or the real Venezuelans are only the ones that are on our side, right? The people that agree with our political views, those are the real Venezuelans. Anyone else is not really a Venezuelan. They're not really, they're part of the government. This is their simplistic definition, that anyone who agrees with Maduro or agrees with their politics or has acted indirectly or directly for themselves or on the behalf of the government or even purported to have done so, now you're part of the government and you're no longer entitled to anything according to the U.S. government. Really take that in and understand how that is meant to attack the people, not the government. This is punishment, pure and simple. I mean, for what, not being on the right side as they see it? Now, apparently Adobe executives decided that they would rather lose the Venezuelan market, the money from these sales, than take the risk of sending high-paid corporate lawyers, which they would have to do, to explain to the U.S. Treasury why some clerk in Caracas managed to use Photoshop to create pics telling Trump to get his hands off the country. Right, this is the point. For something so innocuous. And maybe that's what it's really about, stopping them from having some kind of access to create memes. Who knows, as ridiculous as that. But at the end of the day, it's not really about that. It's just the fact that Adobe, among thousands of companies, including ones that are imperative to people surviving, such as medical groups, are choosing not to partake in sales to Venezuela because they know that they will get attacked by the U.S. Treasury. And simply even Adobe software, they know that they would have to pay for high-paid lawyers to discuss and explain why they did this why they sold software to a civilian in Venezuela. Now, Venezuelans using Adobe's the cloud services apparently have until October 28th to download all their files before their accounts are deleted. Now, how much you want to bet that's probably already happened, or it's probably going to happen somewhere before October 28th. Oops, our bad. You lost all of your data that was in the cloud that you've been paying for, and you're not going to get a refund. No, I mean, it's minor, but the fact that they're not handing refunds back to these people is just so disgusting. Adobe says that paying them back would violate government policy too. I mean, how can you not be insulted by this? They're literally saying that paying these people back, who these aren't the government. These are just civilians in Venezuela that the U.S. government pretends they're fighting for. And if they were to pay them back for a service they paid for legally, the government would attack Adobe. That would violate government policy to refund them what they paid for a legal service. Now, a critic would say that it just shows that, you know, this is America Inc., right? It's a company. And it's both cowardly and greedy, as I think we all know. But I guess we'll just give them the benefit of the doubt that they're being cautious and law-abiding. Now, once the purge of subscriptions is done, no Adobe products will be legally available to anyone in Venezuela, not even the free ones, understand, which doesn't even make sense to me. Now, the U.S. routinely uses economic sanctions against nations it doesn't like. Some of them kept in place for decades, like is seemingly playing out with Syria now. Clearly, this is long since they've lost their agenda there, just like it's beginning to look like they did in Venezuela. And they have more suffering going on in Syria right now than at any other point because they've continued and drastically intensified their sanctions campaign and blockades on a group that for what? What actions are they trying to change at this point, right? This is the point. It's punitive. It is punishment for them not getting their way. They routinely use these against nations they just don't like, which is such a horrendous crime. Now, Venezuela has come under increased sanctions, of course, this year and well back, well before even Trump got elected, but it has gotten exponentially worse since Trump got elected, and he's openly bragged about that. The Trump administration has been unsuccessful in their campaign so far to replace Maduro, but they're sure as hell going to try and sure as hell going to take any advantage they can to make Venezuela continue to look destabilized so they can continue to say, look, we told you, they're not doing well, even though they're making it happen, and to step in if and when they are able to in the future. Now, Adobe's withdrawal will probably result in some increase in software piracy in Venezuela, but obviously not every effect of sanctions is so harmless. They tend to ultimately force governments, and this is the point, to cut social welfare programs, restrict the supply of life-saving medicine, and otherwise make life almost impossible for most vulnerable people. And again, if you haven't heard me say it the thousandth time, they know this because it's outlined in their own documentation about what these things are meant to do. Make the economy scream! And of course, do what we say if you want your people to eat. As Mike Pompeo said himself about Iran, which hopefully you know. Now, Venezuela in particular has seen as many as 40,000 excess deaths linked to the sanctions just since 2017. And there was a lot before that. An estimate that was published in April by the Center for Economic and Policy Research, as you can see here, which we've talked about. I've easily referenced this at least 10 times. And of course, I've included that report in the show notes, description below the video, so you can see for yourself, hopefully, even especially if you disagree with what I'm saying, that you can take the time, read the link, and understand for yourself that it's just impossible to deny. But of course, if you're the one that downvoted this video before I started, or you're watching and you're hating everything we're doing, and you don't read that link, you're the problem. Because until you do your research and understand what it is, even do ultimately still disagree with me, you are part of the problem. Because they expect you not to do your research. They bank on you blindly taking what they have to say as fact. And it's sadly, there are still people that do that. It blows me away. It really does, based on what I think we can see all plainly today. But as I've continued to point out, I truly do believe that there's more people waking up today than I've ever seen before. So there is a part of this that should be positive. And always, that's why they're coming back so harsh over the top, because we're reaching people. Now, jumping over to some domestic policy that really just seems to be more of the same from foreign policy, to be honest. Lies, abuse, deception, using the law as a tool against your adversaries. But in the case of this next article, you, as an American, if you are the adversary in this case. And you might find it unsettling to know that on the other end of the battle, even if you didn't realize you were in one, is the FBI. Now, this is coming from the Wall Street Journal, of all places, for the last article of the day, entitled, FBI's use of surveillance database violated Americans' privacy rights. I know you're aghast, right? How dare they? We've known this for, we've been talking about this before even the FISA warrant fiasco. And this is kind of what, this ties back to the FISA court. But you remember the FISA warrant, oh my gosh, it's going to bring down our democracy, or, you know, all the claims they made, national security, and none of it was true. Constantly lying on either side of the argument for their own personal reasons. You know, pretending things are classified when they're not. The same thing they're trying to jump on other people for right now. That happens every day in Washington. For that using surveillance database that violates privacy rights is something that we have been pointing out for decades. But the court found this out a year ago. And of course, the intelligence community felt it wasn't right to tell us until now. I wonder why. Now, according to a Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, or FISA court, the FBI's use of electronic surveillance tools violated the constitutional privacy rights of Americans whose communications were swept up in a controversial foreign intelligence program. Now, that exact sentence, I feel like we could have read 10 years ago. Or 5 years ago. And it would have been taken the exact same way it is now. Well, yeah, we know that, but we're glad to see it coming out. But that's the frustrating part, is yeah, sure, it's great we're talking about it. Yeah, sure, it's great that we talked about how we had whistleblowers coming out about the Clinton Foundation and everything they've done, and then nothing happens. Over and over and over, this kind of stuff happens. We find things out. Oh, the NSA's spying on you. Oh, Clapper lied about it. Oh, nothing happens. It's a protected class we're looking at here. It's them and us. Yeah, they're using the database to violate your rights because that's what it's for. Now, the court concluded that the FBI had been improperly searching through a database of raw intelligence for information on Americans. This is according to the Wall Street Journal, that they were deliberately searching through the information on you. And of course they know that's a violation, but they don't care. Now, the ruling that was made last year was only disclosed today. I mean, in all of that, that has to be the most infuriating part of all of it. That, you know what, they probably waited to get themselves as far away from the FBI scandal as possible. You know, the time we're beginning to realize that they're a corrupt organization, that like a stain on this. They are from the beginning of the founding of the FBI to today. You could make a very clear case that they are the antithesis of democracy, if you even believe in that. But the point is that they are the opposite. They are countering everything we think we represent in this country. They are secretly spying on you and secretly manufacturing events and secretly creating attacks and then pretending to stop them. I mean, even the New York Times has written about that. And here they are withholding information until they can distance themselves from the stain on their name. Talk about power. Talk about manipulation. Now, according to the FISA court, tens of thousands of improper searches were conducted by the FBI in 2017, 2018. They were deemed improper in part due to the involvement of data relating to tens of thousands of emails or phone numbers. You know, your phone number, your emails. Moreover, the FBI was potentially using the intelligence information to vet personal or cooperating sources. So, you know, for their own uses. Per federal law, the database can only be searched by the FBI while seeking evidence of a crime or for foreign intelligence information. But here they are just using it for personal uses. And we're supposed to think, oh, well, they would never take it to, spy on their girlfriend or take, you know, spy on an American citizen for a case that's illegal. Of course, they would never do that. Here, they're using it for personal, to vet personal information. It's just disgusting the lengths to which we can see them going, and then we'll still give them the benefit of the doubt. Now it says, quote, the court accordingly finds that the FBI's querying procedures and minimization procedures are not consistent with the requirements of the Fourth Amendment. This is according to the judge. So they violated your rights. They broke the law. They broke federal law by using a federal database for personal uses. And they very, very clearly, according to the court, directly violated your Fourth Amendment rights. And you'll never guess what happened right after that. Nothing. No one arrested. No investigations. No change in policy. Yeah, just the same old thing. But now we know about it. So we're okay with it. Right? Just like the NSA spying. And well, we were outraged and nothing changed. And now it's just going on. Same old, same old. No one getting arrested, no one getting charged, no accountability. But you damn, you cross the street without a crosswalk and you're going to prison, right? You get caught with a gram of cannabis in your pocket, you're getting 20 years. But yeah, we don't care. These people are violating the highest document of the land, but who cares? Because the system is not designed to go after the powerful. It's designed to go after you and keep you in line. That's what this is about. And hopefully that's coming across. Hopefully people are beginning to recognize that this has happened over and over and over, and no one gets held accountable except a lower rung person they can throw under the bus to get you thinking something happened, and it all just keeps marching forward. And I'm going to leave you today with a short clip from a recent report about a man that was authorized to be tortured by the Israeli government, despite already having been released when no evidence was found and no charges were brought against him. He's right now in critical condition for simply being a Palestinian in the wrong place at the wrong time. This is the true face of the U.S. government, not to be confused with the American people. And of course, the allies that it chooses to surround itself with. Thank you for joining me today. Please help me get this information out. Help me wake up people in your immediate circle. It just could not be more important today. I love you guys. Thank you for being here. As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.
The Palestinian Samer al-Arbid is hospitalized and in critical condition fighting for his life after having been tortured by the Israeli police. Al-Arbid was suspected of being involved in the murder of an Israeli colonist, the 17-year-old Rina Shinarb, but he was released from custody after no evidence or charges were brought against him. 2 weeks later, he was arrested again. Israel's secret police reported that they suspected he was in possession of a bomb and secured permission from an Israeli court to use torture. During the torture, he lost consciousness and was rushed to the hospital where his rib cage was found to have been broken.
Now, I know that standards have slipped over the last few years in Washington, but for a lawyer, you're remarkably cavalier with any idea of justice.